Chapter 9. Ever-Expanding Circles. Quote, incarnation is not only an engagement with the physical world, but with an invisible world of subtle energies as well. These subtle energies flow from the activities of life, consciousness, and spirit. They create an energy ecology, a second ecology of the world that surrounds and permeates the world and is deeply interconnected with the biological ecology around us. David Spangler, writer and spiritual teacher. Tribal Source Circle in Action. Now we move to the bone shop of the soul, the cauldron in which the magic gets stirred. Over the past 35 years, I have offered a safe, sacred container to facilitate thousands of people in group gatherings worldwide through this transformational healing painting journey. Always, at some point during the workshop, I look around the room while people are engaged in amazing, courageous paintings, all so different, yet the same in authenticity. I sense a primal stirring, a sense of shared trust, goosebumps, breath of fresh air, sanity. I think, wow, we don't really know how ancient and powerful this process is that we are churning, nor how far-reaching it bubbles outward. Periodically, we sit in circle, surrounded by our birthing paintings. Each painter, when called by an inner prompting, courageously allows the movements and sounds in his, her painting to come through him or her, as we all witness. I call this process embodiment, as we allow the painting to borrow our voice and our entire body, what shamans have traditionally called shape-shifting. The embodied painting and or prominent images in the painting may move into spontaneous movements, dance, sounds, or song, often surprising the painter and the witnesses alike. Sometimes wild movements, growls, screams, and shaking erupts, alarming us. Sometimes there is silence, song, humor, or vulnerability, often tears. The embodiment process is described more deeply in my original book on page 201 under Tips for Witnessing Your Paintings. Sometimes an image, a blue bird, a brown gnarled up troll, or a mighty oak will speak to us through the painter's altered voice, rumbling like a tree or squeaky like a bird, or anguished like a desolate troll, startling, delighting, deeply moving us to tears or laughter. Awe. Such amazing energy. Sometimes the group spontaneously gathers around an anguished person with hands held toward that person, chanting and sending healing energy. A business consultant, young mother, doctor, dog breeder, art gallery curator, psychotherapist, spontaneously performing their first exorcism, soul retrieval, and knowing how to do it, tears pouring down their cheeks. Recent and long dead relatives, friends, pets, and miscarried or aborted embryonic fetuses come to visit through the paintings and speak their truth. Traumas are resolved. Demons, totems, guides, and angels come to visit and are witnessed. I think again, we don't have the foggiest idea what we are really tapping into here. We are dabbling in true magic. It almost feels against the law, radical, bordering on subversive. Some people say, oh, I thought this was just an art class when I read the description. Not sure I would have signed up, if I had read carefully. Fascinating how the source covers their eyes while reading the workshop description. These people are always grateful that they didn't exactly know what they were getting into. They're grateful they came. People go home altered for good. They make positive changes in their lives. Diseases heal. Infertile women become pregnant. People stop drinking alcohol and taking drugs. They start becoming active in ecology and social reform, making necessary contributions in their communities. Often the people in the group stay in contact long after our retreat. Some best friends and marriages begin. And always, the paintings, when fully completed, are extraordinary. Many people invite friends to paint when the workshop is over. So here you have it. Transmutation magic. How it really works, what is really going on, is beyond comprehension. Perhaps is not meant to be fully understood. I do know that painting and expressing your archetypical shadows and guides in a group setting fosters your individual process, opens your artist soul. You discover that what is already yours are riches enough. Art is indeed the royal road to transformation. Let's explore further. Touching the truth. Quote, if it can be said, it is not true. R.D. Lang, famous psychiatrist from Scotland. Do people's health, behavior, and attitudes change for the better after the group art-making experience? Yes, always and constantly. It happens to me. Extraordinary paintings replicate ancient frescoes, goddesses, gods, and scenes from cultures unknown to us. We cannot comprehend the full truth of what is happening here, but we can touch aspects of this mystical phenomenon. Quantum physics could have plausible explanations, as might brain chemists, neurologists, and cognitive neuroscientists who study consciousness. Systems theorists and sacred geometers would also have their explanations, and anthropologists would as well. Jungian, Gestalt, and psychoanalytic perspectives, which are particularly familiar to me, have their perceptions as well. Theologians, ancient alchemists, and mystics from all traditions would have explanations, and they would all be correct. What I know is that all of the above explanations will be true. I know it works, as this experience is deeply satisfying and replenishing. Allowing your body to be used by the divine is an awesome experience that happens in the creative process. I know that painting from the heart, as in dreaming, is tapping into and channeling inner guidance and eternal truth. As described throughout this book, infinite esoteric mystery teachings, healing, new questions, as well as answers come through our paintings and our dreams. Creative Source Productions also offer past incarnations, future events, universal wisdom, archetypes, and many faces of God, all creation myths, and the collective pain, rage, and love, just to name a few gifts of grace. Earth Mother screams for recognition. You are a direct channel. No words are necessary. The divine is made incarnate through your creativity. Our creative production from the source is worth 1,000 prayers and meditations, as well as 1,000 words. Paintings that come from the heart and soul of the painter awaken and touch the heart and soul of the viewer. These source productions forever stir, reverberate, pierce, disturb, haunt, enlighten, or inspire and awaken. I know that physical symptoms, images in dreams, and images in paintings come from the same source, wherever that is. And if you alter one in these arenas, either in your dream or your images and paintings, or in your body, they are all altered. In other words, if you change or alter an image in a painting, it has a direct effect on your body and in your dream imagery. If you choose to make a change in a lucid dream, that is, when you know you are in a dream while you're dreaming, it will alter what you paint and alter your body symptoms. And the same is true if the entry point is the body. Needles in the needed acupuncture points on your body can also alter your paintings and your dreams. This will shortly be elucidated in a true personal story. Have you noticed this phenomena in your life? I know that when we listen to a story, see a play, a movie, hear a dream, or a poem, we suspend our logical mind. We intuitively agree to be in metamorphical reality, which is refreshing and reassuring. This suspension of mind phenomenon also occurs in a spiritual sanctuary setting, like a temple, a therapy session, or a source painting workshop. I know source art and all the arts and dream process are tapping into universal energetic processes relating to occult and mysticism, the principles of shamanism, animism, witchcraft, original tribal medicine, worship. This ability to tap in with consciousness is distinctive and inherent to our species. Shamanism is defined as an original tribal animistic religion with a complex pattern of diverse rites and beliefs. The shaman who heals and accesses prophecy uses mystical powers to journey to other realities and communicate with spirits to bring about a balance between the physical and spiritual worlds. This journey is accomplished for an individual's healing or for an entire community. This definition fits what I experience about the source art process. The main difference is that I know we all have the mystical power to journey to other realities, not just designated shamans. The time has come when we must all use this power, fearless and open. Another concept, animism, also fits my experience of source art. Animism, which is incorporated in shamanism, is a philosophical, religious, or spiritual idea that souls or spirits exist not only in humans, but also in animals, plants, rocks, natural phenomena such as thunder, geographic features such as mountains or rivers, and other entities of the natural environment. Animism may further attribute souls to abstract concepts such as words, true names, or metaphors in mythology. Animism is particularly found in the religions of indigenous people. I would add that the alchemical process embedded in art making gives soul to paintings, stories, poems, songs, music, and some dreams. In source paintings, created in an altered state of consciousness, the images have their own determination, their own life force. That's why we can embody them, we can shape-shift into them so beautifully. We can feel the soul force in the images particularly strong when we embody them. The images seem to call to us and delight in being embodied. We can see source art in the first original universal spiritual practice before written language, and the first form of writing with pictures and symbols. The early pictograph was an art form, like the Mayan writing. The saying, "One picture is worth a thousand words," takes on a new meaning in this light. Art is the universal language, an inspired dance gesture, an authentic facial expression, a spirited yelp, a red and black primitive African mask immediately communicates what words can never say. I note to be human is to be a vehicle of expressing the divine creation in all its infinite variety. Life loves to pop and evolve. Art is that life. The divine waits to be expressed through art we make when we are awake. When we create as humans, we tap into the very same evolutionary force that gave birth to us. We tap into and reproduce the ever-present. Art making reproduces the life-death-rebirth process. Art making is the sacred mandate of being human. Maynard Craighead, transformative artist and former Catholic nun, poetically expresses my mission. I quote, "The mother has but one law, create, make as I do. Obedience to this law is the deepest obedience and the worthiest worship of her. Make, transform substance into another, press chaos into form, mold material into spiritual reality, fashion potential into actual, change one form of energy into another, transmute blood into milk, clay into vessel, feeling into movement, wind into song, egg into child, fiber into cloth, stone into crystal, memory into image, body into worship." Our very being, our existence, is the result of an evolutionary alchemical process, which by some mystery we are ordained to repeat. When our intention is with love, our creation is for the good. Our way back home, our hero-heroine's quest, is of necessity filled with encounters, visitations from archetypical beings. These entities arrive as images in our paintings from the personal and collective unconscious, and from beyond, they arrive to both challenge and help us. As we know, sooner or later, paintings turn murky, ridiculous, and monster-filled. Good signs of progress. Here we meet our shadows, those aspects of ourselves we are not consciously aware of. Please note, often we are chosen to depict intense, dark, or light imagery and subjects for our community or culture to view, not necessarily related to any personal aspects of our own life. Get lost on the road home, meeting the beast to get to beauty. I quote, "What I believe we have in our culture largely today is an adult population that has not learned to love its darkness. Therefore, this population likes to live only in the clean, well-lit world where it makes money and the ego is gratified. The feeling of the ancients, of our not too distant tribal past, is that our souls, that part of us that is most important, does not live in the well-lit world. It lives in the moist down under. The aim of art is to drop you into this deep world, and if you refuse to go, you will dry up. And thus, our adult population dehydrated and bewildered. Is it any wonder that this population is obsessed with youth, from plastic surgery to child pornography? Cut off from its own fertile, moist wellspring, the only thing left is to lust after the youth that still might have a toehold in the life of the soul. Elise Crone, ecologist, activist, art medicine woman. Yes, source painting heightens our wisdom and opens our hearts to the awe of creation and diversity of life on this planet. At the same time, as we know, source painting also provides an outlet for expressing our shadows, the unconscious aspects that lives within us all, so they do not have to be acted out. Violence, demonic cults, destructive sexual practices, and organized crime do not occur in tribes and cultures where everything and anything is expressed creatively. As in Bali, the Senoi Dream Tribe of Malaysia, the Hopi, Aborigines, etc. Creative practice from the source supports and nurtures the peace-loving, altruistic side of our nature. And when a culture is comfortable with sexuality, anger, and death, and all natural bodily functions, there is a free-flowing creativity and more peaceful lives as well. Interestingly, what our culture may consider the shadow or impolite sides of life are fully accepted and expressed in Bali. Cremation pyres are public forms of art. Grandmothers' sagging, wrinkled breasts are exposed in public. Sculptures with oversized, erect penises adorn public buildings. And as I previously shared, these creativity-practicing humans are among the most peaceful, sane, loving people I have known. In cultures where people regularly create through source, thus living in the soul, there is less likelihood of war, rape, abuse, addiction, or polluting the earth. Furthermore, the ego's desperation to accumulate a multi-million dollar dynasty loses its power. You can't create freely, ecstatically, authentically, on a regular basis, and harbor prejudice, hate, and greed. It seems mutually exclusive, does it not? I think much of this insanity in the world today is unconsciously disowned shadow parts of our own psyches projected out into the world. As I repeatedly share, the masculine energy in both men and women is out of balance. The feminine energy, the positive feminine energy, needs to be nurtured in both genders. Clear and balance your own soul being through creative expression, and you will be doing a great worldly service. Kathleen, an art medicine woman who frequently paints with me, poignantly describes this phenomenon. Quote, "In our painting group, we dared to show up and wrestle with our shadow, giving it voice and body to tell its story, giving it a home to live so it no longer has to wander out in the world attached to the collective angst. We brought our pain home, and in doing so, we took a personal and collective step in reclaiming peace on earth. We don't have to go anywhere. We are doing, being it, personally, yes, and tribally, as we did this act together in the painting tribe." Kathleen Prahat, embodied arts practitioner. Benefits of painting in a group. When you paint and share from your heart, you are allowing yourself to be vulnerable. You are risking rejection of the most precious part of yourself, your spiritual core, an element of yourself that is much more precious, tender than your personality or your physical appearance. Even if you speak not at all about yourself, your painting is right out there for you and all those in the room to see. You cannot hide. In a painting group, you provide the chance for this deepest, most precious, honest, authentic part of you, your full range of ugliness and beauty, heaven and earth, agony and ecstasy, to be fully heard, seen, acknowledged, accepted, and valued, sometimes for the first time in your entire life. Painting in a group provides the safety and gives you the courage to go deeper into uncomfortable and often frightening inner terrains. Being witnessed and accepted by the group is truly empowering. For many, this single factor of being fully witnessed and valued by the group becomes the most transformative and confidence-building aspect of the process, the one that leads to free-flowing creativity in painting and in life. The group's unconditional appreciation of your paintings, no matter how tortured, ugly, corny, sentimental, childish, ecstatic, or painful, may be the major healing aspect of your workshop experience. For me, beauty and healing are the same. Beauty occurs in art and life the moment you allow your soul truth to be expressed. That symbolic death moment, a risk taken for transformation to occur. This great art inspires, fosters stretching and transformation in the painter and viewer alike. It instills a sense of awe, of uplifting inspiration. It must come from the universal source of all creation for this to occur. As I demonstrate throughout this book, at some point you will meet your personal edge, your shadow, your challenge. For many, the early paintings, or those buried first layers of your first painting, are necessary detoxification before finding your soul truth. Old blocks and obstacles need to be painted and expressed to tap the deep flow of inspiration. For me, there is no such thing as a bad painting. A painting can only be bad if it is abandoned before completion. If you stay with any painting to its completion, it's got to be incredibly beautiful. Here is my true story of a scary-looking completed painting which brought me healing with its ugly beauty. Arthritic symptoms were gone for good after I painted my Dark Angels. I'm glad I stayed with it. Here is what happened. In the mid-1980s, I hit a very frightening dark period in my life. After years of being a single mom, my children were leaving the nest. I had also just initiated a long-term separation from my dysfunctional parents. I was experiencing poor health, which included low energy, digestive disturbances, and painful arthritic symptoms in my hands and other joints. Although I had been practicing spontaneous painting for a number of years, the themes were all inspirational and uplifting, colorful and sensual aspects of the goddess and or wild woman archetype. But now, in the midst of fear and despair, I felt compelled while painting in a group to spill forth what was to be a most demonic scene. With my usual commitment not to censor what my brush wanted to depict, I found myself painting in pitch black a most tormented, tortured figure. The figure was eviscerated, with body cut open, guts spilling out, torture and tears on her face, and excrements of every disgusting description from each orifice of her body. While painting, I felt very emotional and nauseated. I felt compelled to add paper on all sides, making room for strange little men with pointed hats that were drinking the body fluids. I thought they were attacking and torturing me. When complete, I noticed that besides being a visually powerful painting, the shape of the painting became a Celtic cross, which is also the shape of the Red Cross. the universally recognized medical rescue organization. Although I was concerned about my sanity while painting, I was amazed to wake up the next morning with the arthritic symptoms gone and feeling a very positive shift in my life and fortune in general. I could not have done this painting alone. I needed the safety and grounding of the tribal circle. And by the way, these arthritic symptoms have never returned. Many years later, I showed a slide of that frightful painting at a conference where a scholar in Native American mythology was present. After my presentation, he told me that the creatures I had painted were identical to the elf-sized helpers that the Plains Indians medicine people call in to assist them to remove toxins from the body while they perform healing. It was amazing, and it made perfect sense. What I thought were my torturers were really my saviors in disguise. Unfortunately, I needed to feel desperate to a point where I felt I had nothing to lose in order to paint my dark angels, an aspect of my shadow. For the record, although this painting may be disturbing to view, it is very much art in its authentic and stirring impact. Shall we say it emanates a gut-wrenching beauty? As previously stated, physical symptoms, dreams, and creative imagery all come from the same source. All are expressions of the soul. Alter one, and you alter all. That is why, when painting is approached as a healing ritual in which you risk expressing your shadows, true healing occurs. What you think is your slayer is your redeemer. Liberate your shadows and you liberate your creative soul. Liberate your creative soul and you liberate the world. I think our global survival depends on the acceptance and encouragement of safe and sacred expression of shadow. Can you imagine a world in which the leaders in business, politics, religion, finances, and science routinely painted, danced, and sang their hearts and guts out? Hearts would be burst open. It would be hard to have greed, wars, mistrust, and deceit. The creative soul would then live in light and dark and all the colors in between. Besides painting your shadows, it is additionally powerful to embody your paintings and dialogue with your images, especially the disturbing and surprising images, the shadow images. Embodiment of your painting is the shape-shifting experience I previously referred to in the tribal source gathering section. When you dialogue with your images, you actually speak to them aloud. You ask them questions. Then the image responds. You shape-shift into the images and you speak back to yourself. There's more written about the dialogue process on page 157 of the first book. If I had dialogue with my beast-filled dark painting, I may have asked the little blood-drinking creatures, "Who are you and what are you doing?" Then, shape-shifting into the images, into those little creatures, I would pretend and feel as if I am the blood-drinking creatures, the toxin-drinking creatures, and answer aloud to myself. At the time I painted this dark painting, I had not yet employed this dialogue technique, but if I did, the little creatures would surely have told me, "Don't be afraid. We are not attacking you. We are helping you. We have been sent to drink and clear the toxins from your body." As I once again remind you, All images are archetypical aspects of yourself and universal aspects of all people. Expressing your archetypical images through painting, allowing them to be seen, the beasts, the angels, and the clowns, is healing to you, your community, and the world. Addiction. I cannot leave this topic of facing our shadows without addressing the ways we numb and distract ourselves from our source with the habitual use of substances and activities. Fermentation, alcohol, psychotropic plants, tobacco, cocoa leaf, the pleasures of sexual union, devotional worship, times of bounteous food are to me like bonus gifts bestowed by Mother Earth. I imagine in more earth-based indigenous cultures where our ancient ancestors were more in rhythm with nature and the natural cycles of life, these spirit-enhancing substances and activities were used in moderation and with great respect in conjunction with prayer, rituals, and celebrations, festivals, even creative activities, dancing, drumming, making music. I believe that as we move further from nature, nature within and without, further from our soul self, creative being, as I describe in the previous chapter, we relied on these substances more and more. We rely on these activities and substances to numb ourselves from the pain of separation from our true self and in a false attempt to re-experience the ecstasy, eros, and peace of our own true self in nature. Well, you know the outcome. Some of you all too well. Many of us become addicted to the continued use of those substances and activities. We become their slave. Those early natural pleasures become brutal masters, and life becomes hell. For others, our life might not become hell, but these substances keep us floating in a holding pattern, not being fully aware of how our vibrancy has been muzzled, the ego in charge. For people in whom addiction has become hell, life completely unmanageable, there is a good chance of bottoming out and thus seek recovery. And full recovery cannot occur without a rebirth, a connection to source more deeply established than before the addiction took hold. I am here addressing those of us who are floating in a holding pattern, which is the majority of civilized world population. From my experience, I see the habitual, socially and culturally encouraged use of alcohol and pot as one of the most consistent barriers to our true power and full creative expression. This unconscious, insidious use of alcohol and other substances effectively freezes the individuation process, dulls connection to source, and numbs transmutation. We are looking in the bottle for the philosopher's stone. We can't find it within ourselves when our soul is frozen. Our addiction is also convenient for those in power. They don't have to deal with what changes may initiate if we were completely sober and free. I caution people in the early stages of addiction withdrawal to source paint only in a group setting. The early opening up of creativity without group support can be scary and make them want to medicate further with substances. This is another reason why it is helpful to create in groups when you first begin. I have for years seen people in the source painting groups become aware of their unconscious dependence on substances. They successfully stop with a noted sense of liberation and empowerment. I, of course, do not permit alcohol or drugs right before or during the workshop. As you can imagine, I have some good stories. One that comes to mind is a commercially successful painter, Harvey, who thought he could not paint without smoking pot and came to my workshop to find out. He was terrified. Well, he is still pot-free and his paintings and health better than ever. Group support and lover magic. Please remember the creative process is meant to be joyous, playful, and fun, deeply nourishing and satisfying. But first, the creative source process brings up and dissolves the blocks, beasts, and shadows, thus clearing the path for natural joy to flow. We must get lost to find the path home to our true self. And in that wandering, we must meet the beast with an open heart in order for the beast to transmute into beauty. This is the artist's soul awakening process, the individuation process. This is lead into gold. I hope you are inspired to gather in groups with people who have read this book and paint. For those who feel comfortable entering new territory, embody your paintings, experiment, add music, dance, theater, poetry, storytelling, healing earth rituals, make videos, put it on YouTube, Facebook, blogs, see where it goes. You don't have to be a professionally trained expert. Your heart, your imagination initiates. Mastery will find you, as I described in earlier chapters. Trust that the healing grows exponentially in ever-expanding circles. Ever-expanding circles. Reaching quantum leap. I quote, "The millionth circle refers to the circle whose formation tips the scales and shifts planetary consciousness. It was inspired by the 100th monkey, the story of a critical number of monkeys washing sand off coconuts, initiating a sudden jump of that same behavior to monkeys on distant islands. This story sustained anti-nuclear activists in the 1970s and 80s to continue on when conventional wisdom said that nothing, certainly not ordinary people, could deter the nuclear arms race between the superpowers. I here propose the same as Jean Bolin. Source painting circles add to this vibrational momentum and accelerate humanity's shift into a post-patriarchal era. Throughout this book, I refer to the quantum leap breakthrough in the painting, that moment after hours of possible struggle, staying with it, taking risks, that moment of sudden shift into guided flow. It's the moment when the constant churning of sweet cream turns into butter. The same phenomenon occurs in a group when a number of people experience a breakthrough. Breakthrough is then accelerated in the rest of the group, like popping corn. This awakened consciousness then ripples outward on a global scale. Speaking of the ripple effect, or more accurately known as morphic resonance, did you know that in Africa, certain trees that are being overforaged can signal other trees of the same species miles away to increase the tannin in their leaves, a chemical that makes them inedible to foraging animals? The distant trees receive this message and alter their chemistry accordingly. Did you know that when laboratory rats have learned a new maze, rats elsewhere seem to learn it more easily? Did you know that identical twins separated at birth have met for the first time only to discover they've each married a woman of the same name in the same year and now have the same number of children? All these phenomena, including those experienced in the alchemical creative workshops, can be understood through this concept of morphic resonance, theorized by the biologist Rupert Sheldrake. Years ago, Lucille, who attended my workshop in New Mexico, painted the portrait of an unknown man with blue eyes and short brown hair. Also in the painting appeared the zodiac sign for Libra, a long-robed woman holding a scale. A few months later, Lucille told me she met and ultimately married this man, who was a Libra. Lucille, like many of us, entered the morphic field while painting. Serendipities are endless over the years of guided source painting. Why do these everyday realities surprise us? Why doubt that our thoughts can have an effect on our body and the bodies of others? Is scientifically proven? And since all this is true, why doubt that a group ritual dance / prayer and chant for rain can cause rain? Well, if you are still reading, you doubtlessly believe. Long before modern science proved this essential truth, we and the ancients knew that the vibration of an intentional thought can demonstrate physical effects on a body, a tree, all matter. Intentional thought combined with active ritual, speaking a prayer, lighting a candle, a stone tossed in a pool, a house well feng shuied, are all acts that can have more effects on physical objects and lives than thoughts alone. Add to this a tribal community together performing intentional ritual and art, and the results are stunning. Now add to all this the alchemy of art making, images channeled from the divine source, from the collective generous love being. The hearts of all will open to generosity and planting trees. Just imagine a global intentional art event with digital technology of internet and cinema. The exponential reverberations explode. The Gaia principle suggests that our planet is a living, interdependent, evolving organism like us, and of which we are a part. Therefore, it makes sense that however we treat ourselves and how we think has impact on her, our planet. Like the tenets of animism, I believe the planet, like us and our creative productions, has a soul, and that we are connected in soul-level communication. What we create in art and ritual has a profound effect. Every intentional ritual, every act of love and creativity has power, especially in sacred circles. Do not doubt it. The long-sought feminine in body and soul. Quote, if you have never been called a defiant, incorrigible, impossible woman, have faith. There is yet time. Clarissa Estes, Women Who Run with the Wolves. Will most of the source art group circles that contribute to the tipping point be female? As previously mentioned, Jean Bolin believes that circles build upon what women do naturally. Women have brought about major political and social changes. Meeting in groups grew into the women's suffrage movement, which gained women the right to vote in 1920. Women in small consciousness-raising groups led to the women's movement of the 1970s. The impact reverberates exponentially. Does it matter if mostly women spearhead the shift? Can the shift happen if propelled mainly by women? Or can this particular shift from patriarchal influence only occur if propelled by women? Of course, it's not just gender we are talking about. We are talking about an open heart, vulnerable, non-competitive, sensuous energy, which happens to be most active, prevalent in women, also active in men, and dormant in some women. As I have been saying throughout these chapters, it's the heart-open energy that we need. And it is women who are essential for getting the source body re-enchantment out in the world. An over-predominance of female leadership and voices are necessary, I believe, to get the snowball rolling back in the earth consciousness direction. Quote, I believe that humanity is at a crossroads and that what women do in the next few decades will determine the fate of life on this beautiful, abundant planet. Jean Bolen. What I am about to tell you will not surprise you. While men now comprise about 50% of yoga, meditation, and dance groups, for the past 35 years, only about 15% of participants in Painting from the Source are men. The majority of these men are in the arts and healing arts. Maybe it's the cultural expectation to know how to do it, to be in charge, that repels some men from this raw level of exposure and vulnerability, the stepping into the unknown inherent in this work. Maybe the idea of painting from the unknown is too scary, at least for men of my generation. It is for many women as well. Some men may also be fearful of being unwelcome by women in this vulnerable process, although the women are always admiring and grateful for the men who show up. Whatever the reason for low attendance of men in the source painting groups, I know when I taught art to ages 5 through 12, all the boys loved to paint. True for my three sons, younger brothers, and grandson as well. Did you know it is now estimated that over 20% of the witches killed in Europe were men? Probably guys cut from the same wild cloth who are drawn to the source painting workshop. In any event, I do agree with Jean Bolen that an abundance of women's authentic voices are now necessary to shift the tide to sanity. A backlash pendulum will swing in the direction of female leadership for things to balance to the middle range. And it is happening as you read. The fire of deep spirit is now tended by a female majority. There are now countless women's spirituality conferences and movements all over the world, plus an eruption of female ministers in all religions and in politics and the arts and medical arts and science. There are endless brave women's voices and artists speaking out in parts of the world that are still brutal toward women. There is a rebirth of witches' covens in Europe and North America, and of midwifery worldwide. Herbalist, plant medicine, mystical studies, astrology, all growing in popularity, are predominantly female-led. Note, just a few of the many outspoken female authors having an impact on women and trickling down to men. Susan Weed, Jean Houston, Wee Moon Astrological Datebook are filled with source art, poetry, and earth praise. Only in these times could the vagina monologues be publicly embraced and performed. It was the female biologist, Rachel Carson, who first brought our attention to ecological problems in the 60s with publication of Silent Spring. Joanna Macy, author, activist, and so much more, prevails with the work that reconnects. There is an ancient Hopi prophecy. Quote, "When the grandmothers speak, the world will be healed." This prophecy also states that now in the 21st century is the time when the grandmothers must speak. And so it is. Grandmothers Speak groups are forming and speaking out all over the world. An additional grandmothers group called the 13 Indigenous Grandmothers Council represent a global alliance of prayer, education, and healing for Mother Earth, all her inhabitants, all the children, and for the next seven generations to come. While the grandmothers are speaking out, there are those who suggest that we are entering the age of the daughter. Rabbi Zalman Schachter Shalomi, pioneer of the Jewish Renewal Movement, is one who is credited with expressing a meaningful insight. I paraphrase. In the history of human worship, there was first the age of the Great Mother Goddess. Then, as history moved on, there was the age of the Father God, followed by the age of the Son God. Now, it's time for the age of the daughter. I see her face in so many amazing, brilliant young women I am privileged to know. She is warm-hearted and tech-savvy. "Any wild idea I have," she says to me, "yes, we can do that." This is the daughter we have been waiting for, loving but not a sap. She is progressive, endlessly creative, liberated, optimistic, mingled with wise compassion. She is not a female messiah come to earth, rather an earthly woman born from the earth. She embodies love, sexuality, creativity, cooperation, collaboration, radical honesty, co-creation, devotion, and enthusiasm. She can be embodied by man or woman, old or young. The liberated, sovereign, feminine, initiating creative circles and rituals for the great turnaround. It is interesting and no accident that the bestseller book and blockbuster movie, The Da Vinci Code, was about the contemporary search for the daughter ancestor of the Christ Son. The daughter is teaching us to mature, preparing, guiding the masculine energy for the tasks ahead. As we know, women are more susceptible to the ways of the heart and intuition. As they open and balance, they come back to their bodies and deep knowing. They also teach the men who, in their deepest being, yearn for the way back to balance. Women, whom men need and admire, are teaching men about the body, health, yoga, sex, emotions, creativity, and nature. More women are birthing and nursing naturally, and more men are getting to witness and bond with their babies. Gratefully, returning soldiers are expressing their emotional wounds more than those returning from past wars. In fact, Warriors Journey Home Project uses art and ritual to welcome home wounded warriors. Might this be a sign of the macho man melting? My woman's example of strength and vulnerability and love make war impossible? Sooner than later, let's hope. My friend George is one of those 20% of men who would have been a witch in the past. He co-taught my 2-year teacher training and was the only man. In his poem, What If?, he contemplates all he witnessed and what might happen if more men experienced and witnessed the same. In the poem, I am the crone he is referring to. I quote his poem. What if? What if a circle of wise ones appeared in a dream of a crone who had dare risk her fear? What if the womb of the source could give birth to women whose power and art healed the earth? What if a man were invited to share in the process of artistry such a tribe dared? Their tasks and their tears and their joys and their pains painted with courage in sacred domain. He came and he witnessed remarkable sights as the medicine women created their rites of passage, renewal, and regeneration, reliving the goddess's mythic creation. A spiral they danced in the labyrinth of life. Each cut her soul open, a brush for a knife. One showed the vortex of grief in her heart, another the darkness of doubting her part. One stood nonverbally sharing her hell, as only a rape-ravaged spirit could tell. Another, her body bruised by such a fate that proves beyond doubt the existence of hate, cried tears of delight as she found her own soul by painting the terror with pigment of gold. And one woman crawled round the floor like a beast, clawing for scraps of a once-promised feast, a banquet at which every morsel of love was consumed by a glutton who wore iron gloves. Then one screamed while writhing and twisting in pain at the image she'd painted of endless cold rain. The man stood aback at the ghastly display of the sins against hope all these women replayed. Penises piercing and claws ripping flesh, a skeleton laid like a babe in a creche. Mothers quite passive, as fathers abused. Lovers with promises later rescued. Angels of darkness held sway in the night, while demons and monsters smiled broad with delight. Fiendish destroyers determined to kill all possible vestige of hope and of will. Now, what if death is not what he witnessed there? What if these paintings of tortured despair brought freedom and courage and strength of resolve to these warrior women whose tears soon dissolved? What if their painting unshackled their joys and the wise crone had known that paint was a ploy to release all these women from their histories so they, too, be wise as the moon's mysteries? And what if their triumph was what the man saw? And what if all men could then share in his awe? George Herrick Lasua, painting from the source, student and co-teacher, art medicine man, life coach, and more. Man or woman, this is it. The time is now. Closing. More than the sum of our parts. With the drawing of this love and the voice of this calling, we shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. T.S. Eliot. Four Quartlets. Hopefully, I have inspired you to share your source art with the world and to gather source circles, possibly bringing more men. I certainly hope you and your gatherings will practice embodying your paintings, allowing your painting to move and make its sounds through you. Open dialogues with your paintings, allowing them to answer all your questions. This end is just the beginning. Where else might the call of Cosmic Earth Mother bring you? Of course, we cannot know how your earth-based devotional art ministry will evolve. That is the point. It's the mystery. We do know that invocation will be pulled from you in this time of great need. We know whatever you do must be with the reverent intention of what is best for all. Weaving reverence and appreciation for the divine source in all we do sends a vibration message to the divine that you are not in control, thus dissolving the destructive hubris of ego. Here are a few suggestions and a review for needed evolution. 1. Ask each morning and before each creative practice for guidance. 2. Keep painting, playing, dancing, writing. 3. Invite others to paint with you and see how your community group evolves and grows. Or make music with you. Or act with you. Or dance with you. As you explore and express your shadows, freeing up more energy, the collective group mind will pop with needs, ideas, and choices. 4. Allow the creative process and co-creation to evolve. Be flexible with the process. Your group may want to include dance, song, and theater. Always keep the ultimate needs of the planet and respectful inclusion of the Great Cosmic Mother on the forefront of your group prayer and intention. Your group may want to address some current local or planetary ecological or social issue. You may evolve a theater art piece to video and share with your community and post on YouTube. I have an example of source, ritual, and embodiments on YouTube to share with the world. A major goal is to offer opportunities for your community to have hands-on experience of creativity, like when my friend Pat Allen encouraged our local organic farm store group to dress up as vegetables and decorate a float for the 4th of July parade. Here are some examples which can be connected to an event or commemoration. Community paint-ins, community poetry-ins, dance-ins, mandalas, community chalk murals in the streets. 6. Whenever possible, provide children with authentic hands-on play and creative experiences that stimulate their imagination. Time out from flat-screen viewing of computer and TV. Time out from battery or digital-operated toys is essential for future healthy minds. Get people involved in a way that touches their heart, which raises their consciousness. You may be saving a life without knowing it. Whatever contributions of expression and spiritual prayer you work with, let it flow, let it evolve. Let go of repeating a previous experience, no matter how terrific it was. Some possibilities. Patty Chafee, writer and community minister in Niantic, Connecticut, got inspired to gather a source group after attending a 3-hour painting experience. Her church purchased some of my books and painting supplies and invited people to paint. The paintings and healings which resulted were, in her words, remarkable, nothing short of miracles. Miracles Unleashed is the name of an anonymous exhibition this group organized to celebrate and share their experience with the community. Please note, I request that you not use the name Painting from the Source for the groups you gather. Please make up a different name like Painting for Process or Painting from the Heart or Free Painting, any name. Also, I occasionally conduct teacher trainings. Email me from my website if you are interested. My friend and co-teacher, Tony Bergens, who is an ecstatic dance facilitator of Journey Dance, and I had the idea for many years to combine paint and dance. We co-taught 2 5-day retreats so far, and they were successful beyond our imagination. More powerful, I think, than painting and dancing on their own. In the first one, we had a plan, but once we began, we experimented with some new ideas, group needs, and group suggestions. In the second workshop, we got more daring and loose with following the group needs, suggestions, and our own newly hatched ideas. I am sure we will innovate more the next time we do it. We have this idea for encouraging ritual theater, first with individuals, and then see how it blends naturally in the group. But we won't know until we do it. We know there is a group intelligence that will guide us in the moment. It's about co-creating a safe container in which innovation can flourish, right? No need for concern. Some people are concerned that when they say a prayer or a blessing in a group, it will sound flaky, or they will offend people of different religions or atheists. This has not been a problem for me. Keep your prayer or invocation earth-based and use neutral words like divine, great spirit, source of all life, and people will be inspired and even stretch their imagination. If you feel comfortable, your group will respond to that comfort. Examples of eco-oriented source art. Eco art experience. You may want to design an art experience that will directly open people to the environment and planetary needs. I put together a workshop called the Web of Life Theater. Here is a brief outline. First, through meditation and or walking in nature, suggest people allow an animal, plant, or tree, any living creature, even a blade of grass, to come to them. Or it could be a river, mountain, or any body of land or water. Then people are encouraged to paint the image on large paper in its surroundings and with all its details. Next, we witness each other shapeshift / embody their painting, allowing movement and sounds to come from the painting. Then we ask each image to speak, tell their story, if they were suffering, and what they needed. The wolf might say he was misunderstood in his wolf voice and full expression. Then each person would make a costume and mask of their animal or location. Next, the different creatures and geographic areas in the room might interact with each other. The group will witness the wolf, rabbit, and forest improvise their interaction. After witnessing each other's small group improvisations, all the small groups together create a blended theater piece using the paintings as background scenery. This Web of Life theater piece can then be reenacted for an outside audience who further interact with the piece as it evolves, so each time it will be different. This can be videotaped, even on someone's cell phone, and shown in schools or posted on YouTube for the whole world to be inspired. Send pictures to your local media. This is how the re-enchantment of the world works. Who knows where it will go from there? Community art events. You can combine a community art event with ecological cleanup of a vacant lot or riverbed. Using discarded items, make a community sculpture, a story, or a book. Make a community mosaic with broken pottery and glass. Who knows where it will lead? Offer creative opportunities wherever you are. Carry paper and crayons with you, rattles, guitar, and tambourine too. Play with whomever will play with you. People will join you. Finding your earth guide. Do a guided meditation with a group before painting, asking for your earth guide to come to you. Then everybody paints. The guide may come in any form, we don't know. As each person is ready, the painter is witnessed embodying the image of their earth god, and then the images ask questions. First, what is your name? Then questions like, what is your message for me? How can I serve you? What is my work in the world? If you don't understand or don't know where you will get the money or supplies, ask your guide these questions. Keep seeking the counsel of your guide. The other embodied guides in the room can begin to talk and confer with each other like a council of goddesses gods on Mount Olympus, making some important suggestions and decisions for new projects and actions. As I have been saying, it's time to work together, collaborate. Amazing what you will all manifest for yourself, each other, and the group. I posted a dialogue with my guide on YouTube. Earth Art Day, citywide, nationwide, worldwide. I had this idea of a day to celebrate the earth, healing our world, healing our people with art. Use art, dance, theater, poems, paintings, clay, music as rituals for healing the environment. Using art modalities, make an art blessing all over town for our earth. Designate a day when everybody practices art, group murals, poetry workshops, dance, and music events, all with audience participation honoring the earth, like a big Mardi Gras or Halloween parade. Have local churches involved. Call on local native tribes to officiate with their traditional blessings. Get local media involved. This sounds like Bali, one day a year. It's the beginning. Just imagine. 400 years ago, opera did not exist. There was storytelling, costume design, stage design, solo singing, and choral singing and music, but no such combination as opera, although it is believed that some form of opera existed in ancient Greece. What new forms of art are emerging that may even encompass versions of ancient forms, like the conscious inclusion of earth ritual in combinations with new technology? Stretch. Let go of definitions. New forms will evolve from global need. New combinations of theater, dance, ritual, poetry, music, painting together, performance art, and multimedia productions, even cartoon making. Yes, well-known cartoonists are now being published in lavish hard and soft cover books. No more comic book magazines. New combinations of all the arts will evolve with spiritual practice and technology. These combinations may further evolve into spontaneous, impromptu, express your heart theater with no script or spoken word that blurs the borders between audience and performer. These possibilities are endless and are evolving somewhere, everywhere, on earth as you read. Take a risk and contribute your vision. Don't wait for it to be perfect. You'll wait forever. It's playtime. For example, as a result of writing these chapters, I have resurrected a non-for-profit developed many years ago called Creative Passage, Arts to Reenchant People and Planet. Once you put it out there, it takes on its own life. Quote, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed people can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. Margaret Mead. anthropologist. I have a dream. Here are some additional visions I have for the future. 1. Creativity development, the arts, is given the respect it deserves and priority in our schools above all other subjects. Other subjects will be taught with creative modalities, new forms, multimedia, performance art will be encouraged with an earth-based spiritual reverence. 2. Painting studios, dance studios, music studios, theater space, ceramic studios will be supplied with basic affordable materials in all underserved communities. Prisons, neighborhoods, and corporations where people can create communally. 3. People who create full-time for their livelihood will be encouraged and subsidized by their culture with government or private money, like how the clergy is supported by congregations. 4. Theaters, museums, and anywhere creativity is performed or displayed will be seen as sanctuaries. There will be public theater, dance, and art space in every village and city neighborhood. Performances, cinema, and art displays will be held in the numerous athletic stadiums, substituting and augmenting the more violent competitive games. New forms of multimedia performance art with community participation are encouraged. 5. Creativity as universal heart-opening language will be used in any peacemaking or mediation process or disputing peoples. For instance, Israelis and Arab leaders and warring factions within each camp paint and make a mural, drum, make music, dance together. 6. There will be less separation between artist, performer, and audience. Everyone actively involved through performances may sometimes be initiated by a few, as a gospel preacher initiates participation of the whole congregation. Here is the prayer with which I close my source art workshops. And so I close this book. True to the alchemical creative process, these chapters become a living soul entity, so much more in essence than the sum of its words, pictures, and punctuation marks, more than the sum of its parts. These chapters, like all creative productions, has its own power. It is whole. Its energy is released into the world. Its meaning will have significant impact. Now to say goodbye. My closing prayer, the prayer that I use to close each workshop. Great Spirit, you did it again. Thank you for giving us all that we needed. We are grateful. May the magic we created here, that is so much more than the sum of our individual parts, stay with us, and that this magical heart opening spread to all we encounter and keep spreading to all that they teach, like the spreading ripples in a pool when a stone is tossed, ever expanding circles. May these spreading ripples touch and mingle with the rippling vibrations moving out from all places on the planet where people sit in deep sacred circle like ours, till there is a quantum leap shift opening all hearts to the needs of Gaia, our Mother Earth. All are awakened to the sacred web of life. In awe of magnificent creation, all are open with love for each other. we will see the most massive practice of art ritual ever experienced on the planet, which will turn around the destruction we humans have perpetuated. Devotional practices and new myths that stir mystical revelation will abound, and each person will participate in their prayerful art form in new and evolving combinations and fusions as practiced in indigenous places and times. This art-making ritual, inherent to human nature, will transmute the lead of greed and fear into the gold of love and generosity. May it be so. So be it.
such an other.